Hello and welcome to this week's program of Gnostic Waves. You're with your host, Diana Azam. That's me, myself and I. So on this program, we bring you all topics of a mystical, philosophical and psychological nature with the aim of encouraging people to think outside of the box and ultimately to be able to awaken consciousness. So on this week's program, I thought that I would give a talk and a practice on compassion. And compassion is one of those virtues that we definitely need more of. And I think there would be not many people that would disagree that we need more compassion on the individual level, on the level of society. So if we're ever in doubt of this fact, then all we have to do is really turn on the television and watch the news, something like the world news, to see what's going on. And, you know, when we see these things, or at least the things that are presented to us by the media, then, you know, we really feel that there is a lack and that there should really be more compassion towards humanity, towards people, even towards animals, just in general. Also, if we go travelling, lucky enough to go travelling, have a look at how some people live, particularly in third world countries. Now, we can't think that we can save the whole world. It's not really the point. But having compassion in our heart for all beings is something that will have a powerful impact. So I was recently watching Star Wars films, and as the Jedi Knights say, to never underestimate the power of the Force. And of course, we're talking about the force of compassion, of love, of those virtues, and not the force of the dark side, which we know can also be very powerful. But the force of compassion is something that is equally, if not more powerful than those darker feelings of anger and fear and hatred. So as we, as a society, as a community, when we become more separate and we develop what's known as self-sufficiency, not the sort of self-sufficiency of being able to provide, like, you know, say living off the grid, where we are able to create our own energy source and grow our own food and have our own water supply, not that type of self-sufficiency, but more that we don't need other people, we don't need our community. When we have those tendencies, we lose the capacity to have empathy and hence compassion for other people. It's more difficult when we just have to look after ourselves and, you know, our own interests. So it's easy to lose connection with others, which is really can be a bit disastrous because we are all interconnected. So it may seem overwhelming to be able to have compassion for every single suffering being in the world, because there is a lot of suffering out there. But there are various levels that we can obtain in developing our compassion, and I hope to be able to talk through these in tonight's show. So the place I wanted to start was with the bodhisattvas of compassion. So if we're not familiar with those words, it's basically those masters who have achieved the highest level of attainment, mastery in their spiritual work, and instead of going back to the absolute, to ultimate happiness, they stay with humanity, with us mortals, you could say, until the very last one has achieved self-realization, or at least has gone back into the absolute. So the absolute is that point where we have come from and where we go back to. So these masters have so much compassion and love for us that they stay and help. And we may not know who they were, but once our master has achieved that level of force, of attainment, then we can work with them. So there's some examples I can give you. So there's Kuan Yin, Krishna, Hermes Trismegistus, Lao Tzu, Kutumi, the Buddha, Master Samael on Vior, who we know as the founder of the modern Gnostic movement. We also have the Jesus of Nazareth and Quetzalcoatl, to name a few. And so these are people, or these were their names that were known as in their lifetime, had achieved, incarnated that force, which we could call Avalokiteshvara, or also known as the cosmic Christ. And so when, you know, instantly we see that the word Christ is being used beyond Jesus Christ, so that the level of attainment of infinite compassion is to become or to incarnate the cosmic Christ force. And Jesus of Nazareth showed us that process when he went through his passion, but also there have been other masters and still are other masters that are going through that process. And we may not know them, they may not be making headlines in the newspaper, but they're definitely working there for humanity or for their own path, but our path is not our own. We may think that, but it's hard to separate our work from other people's work, because that's just how we're all sort of glued together with invisible glue. So in the practice, we're going to work with Avalokiteshvara, or that force. It's a really beautiful practice, so hopefully we can join in and really feel and spread a bit of compassion out into the world. Okay, so the other way we can develop compassion is using prayer for health and healing of other people. And as I was saying before, if there's ever anything that we're lacking in our life, if we lack love, if we lack health, if we lack anything, the cure is to give that to someone. So if we are lacking health, then we try and help people to become better. If we are feeling lonely, then we help other people to not feel lonely. So go and be with people that are lonely. If we lack love, then to give love. So when we help pray for other people, we are actually also helping ourselves, but obviously we're not going to be thinking that. And there's a very interesting article that I found many years ago on prayer and the effects of prayer, and I'll put it up on the website, which I haven't mentioned on this show, is gnosticwaves.com. That's GNOSTICWAVES.com, and I do put the show recordings as soon as I can. Sometimes it's not straight away due to technical difficulties, but I do put the recordings up there, and also some further reading. So I'll definitely have to put this article, because it talks about prayer, and it's sort of like a summary of asking how is it that prayer could work, and it references studies that have been done that show that prayer actually does work. And I wanted to read an example of it. There was a physician, Randolph Byrd, B-Y-R-D, in 1988, who looked at the effects of prayer in the Judeo-Christian tradition in a coronary care unit population. So over 10 months, 393 patients admitted to the coronary care unit were randomly assigned to a treatment group that would receive distant prayers, or a control group that would receive no prayers. And 3 to 7 people prayed daily for the rapid recovery and prevention of complications or death for a single patient in the treatment group. The end results was that statistically significantly fewer patients in the prayer group required ventilation or antibiotics, had cardiopulmonary arrests, developed pneumonia, or required diuretics. And then they reference another study done in California with AIDS patients, but the healers were not just from the Judeo-Christian, they were from, they could have been Christian, Buddhist, Jews, Judaism, Native American, or other shamanic traditions and modern healing schools, because we know there's the idea of Reiki, and there's sort of hands-on healing, but there's also distant healing. And the people that did these studies assessed both. And so it's a very fascinating article, and quite convincing. If we're skeptical about prayer, then we can have a read, and hopefully that helps us. And I was thinking about these things and faith, and having faith in some things that we can't see, or that we may not know the effects of. And I was thinking about atoms and electrons, and how most people would believe in atoms and electrons even though they haven't ever seen them. And so there's lots of phenomenon that we believe that we haven't seen. So the effects of prayer, the effects of our intention and goodwill, and how it affects other people is something that we may not know straight away, but at least these studies suggest that something is happening, or as I quote from the article, something is transacting and work is being done in that act of prayer for other people. And so in the practice we do today, we are going to pray. We are going to try and spread that force, that compassionate force to people that suffer. And yeah, so that is definitely a way that we can try and cultivate more compassion. Okay, so before we go on, I'm going to go to a music break, and I've chosen a piece by Diva Prima. It's called Om Mani Padme Hum, because she is actually using that mantra. We're actually going to be using this mantra in the practice, so not exactly as she sings it so beautifully, but yes, and I'll talk about that before the practice. So we'll be back in a short while.
Oh,
just been listening to a track from Diva Prima, Love is Space, a track called Om Mani Padme Hum. You're listening to the Gnostic Waves radio show, and we are talking, or I am talking, on the topic of compassion tonight. And I was just talking about helping other people is a way to cultivate more compassion and goodwill to our fellow brothers and sisters. So another point I wanted to bring up is that we may find it difficult to give our compassion to other people if we don't actually feel it ourselves. And it's a very valid point. How can we feel positively for other people if we don't actually feel it? Are we to fake it? Are we to just try and say the words and hope that the feeling follows? And we can do that. We can try and overcome our own suffering to be able to help other people. And, you know, that's a really helpful key, as I was saying before. If we're ever lacking anything, it's a teaching that says we owe that. So we lack love because we owe love to someone. So that's why if we, you know, able to push past our own negative emotions, then we're going to be able to help ourselves and other people. But on this line of having compassion in ourselves, in the Gnostic teachings, we learn that we have to work to cultivate the virtue in ourselves. We talk about working to dissolve the ego, and we need to do that within ourselves. And the theory is that once we do that, then it has an impact on society. So if we want to change society, we have to change ourselves at the individual level. And so it works for any type of virtue. So compassion, tolerance, patience. We first have to develop these things within ourselves, and not, you know, not expect other people to be patient and to blame other people if we get angry because maybe they got angry first. It's something that we have to change within, because we can't really honestly expect other people to change. So that's just a fact. We can have that expectation, but I believe we would get disappointed. So we can definitely change ourselves. That's, you know, it's pretty foolproof theory there to work on ourselves, and that has an effect on other people. And we may not see that straight away, but I can definitely testify that when you're able to separate from, say, your anger before it manifests into words or into actions or into an attitude, and you can see, once you catch it, you can see the damage that it would have caused, and really it wakes you up. But if you don't catch it and you do it, you really may not see the damage, and so it makes it more difficult to have the motivation to change if we're not seeing how damaging these negative emotions can be. So I wanted to share a practice, which we're not going to do on tonight's show, is of working with the elementals. And we've had a couple of people come on, I believe, and talk about the elementals of nature. But in case you've tuned in for the first time, I'll just quickly recap this teaching, which is that we learn that everything has a spiritual principle or counterpart, and we sometimes call that the essence. So in most people, it's an essence, and that essence has the potential to develop into soul. But until we actually work towards that, it doesn't sort of come through by itself. So we have to work to develop the essence. But in the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, these essences are called elementals, and they're quite pure, and we can work with them. So each of the elementals has a specialty. And so the aloe vera elemental can help with healing. It can help with protection. Or going into the astral world, we can work with plants. And when we say working with them, what we're meaning is to meditate on them and to be able to connect with that essence, with the essence of the plant. So it's not just their physical vehicle or representation, it's actually working with their essence. And Obviously, that it will be easier to do if we are near a plant, like we have a rose plant, and you know, we're able to look at it, and we're able to smell the perfume if it's in bloom, if the flowers are in bloom. It's going to make it easier to work with the elemental because we have more things to concentrate on. And in the article, when we're talking about the prayer, one of the things that says is quite important is to have a focus, to be relaxed, and to have a focus and concentration on the person that we're praying on, or in the case with the working with the elementals, to focus on the elemental itself. And it takes a bit of getting used to, and it takes quite a high level of sensitivity to be able to connect with the element, but it's something that will definitely develop very naturally in the work we do on ourselves. The more meditation that we do, we become more sensitive and able to connect with these energies, you could say, that are always there. They've always been there. We're just not tuned in to their reality, and they're not pushing themselves to us to say, hey, you know, use me or buy me, whatever. You know, like we see in the material world with all the advertising there. And it's not like that. They just sort of go about their way very naturally, very calmly. So yeah, if we can connect and use the rose. The rose is, it's said to be the queen of the flowers, and this elemental helps us with moral pain. So any type of emotional moral pain, it could be anything. Moral pain's generally from relationships, isn't it? Any type of relationship towards our parents, our partner, our children, could be hostile relationship we have at work. So all of these times that we can have trouble connecting with other people on the heart-to-heart level is something that will cause us moral pain. It can also be something really traumatic, like a death, a sudden death of a family member or someone really close to us that can cause us this pain. And we know that death is a part of life, but sometimes we're not ready for it, and so that can cause us some difficulties in the heart center. So we can meditate with the essence of the rose. And if we have a rose plant, that's great. But also we can just imagine the plant. We can imagine a rose sitting there in our heart, and we can focus our attention on it. And hopefully we will be able to connect and to be able to heal ourselves. And once we heal ourselves, it's easier to develop compassion for other people, because our suffering is never just our own suffering. Other people are also suffering too. So yeah, if we can try and do that practice, then I strongly recommend it. Okay, so I wanted to play another track, but I wanted to talk about it. It's a track from Diva Prima again. It's from the CD Password, and it is called Mangalam. It's actually quite a long mantra, or you could say it's a prayer. Mangalam Bhagwan Vishnu. And it's a prayer that's devoted to Vishnu, which is one of the gods of Hinduism or the Vedic traditions. And so in Hinduism, Vishnu, the name also means all-pervading, is the protector of the world and the restorer of moral order and dharma. So he's a peaceful, merciful and compassionate being. And I was looking up more information on this. I was really inspired by the track, and it said that, or the story, as the story goes, so once when man's wickedness overran all restraining boundaries, an infuriated Shiva transformed himself into a wrathful form known as Bhairava. So once converted, Shiva began his rampage of destruction, killing, maiming, and his menacing laughter thundering all around. So on behalf of humanity, Vishnu approached Bhairava and requested him to stop the slaughter. Bhairava said, "I will go on killing until my bowl is filled with enough blood to quench my thirst." And it was common knowledge that Bhairava's bowl could never be filled and his thirst never quenched. Vishnu's heart, filled with compassion, addressed Shiva, said, "Let me give you all the blood you need. You don't have to bleed mankind." So Vishnu then struck his forehead with his sword and let his blood spurt into Bhairava's bowl. Ages passed, and Vishnu kept pouring his blood into the bowl, while Bhairava kept drinking it. Bhairava finally realized that Vishnu was sacrificing himself for the sake of the world. Moved by Vishnu's generosity, he declared, "So long as you preserve the world, I will not seek to quench my thirst. But when the world becomes so corrupt that even you cannot sustain it, I will raise my trident and squeeze every drop of blood from the heart of man." So, okay. Moral of the story, yes, trying not to let the world become corrupt. And just to be working with these forces that are there to help us, even though we may not see them, we can still work with them. So, yeah, just play the track now and hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
Mangalam
So you've been listening to Diva Prima, Pass, from the album Password, Mangalam. And that track continues on for a bit more. So we are talking about compassion, and we're almost going to enter into the practice for tonight. And the practice, we're actually going to use a mantra for the first time on the show. And the mantra is Om Mani Padme Hum. So if we were listening to the track before, then we will be more familiar with it, or we may have used it before. It's most commonly of the Tibetan tradition. And so I just wanted to say some things about the mantra itself, because it's a pretty amazing mantra. So it said, there is nothing stronger in the universe than the power of compassion. Cling to it. Okay. In case you faint due to your burden of evil or perverse karma, make the words of the mantra of Kuan Yin, Om Mani Padme Hum, seal again the pact of not giving in to cruelty or avarice. So it's said that many Tibetans die chanting this mantra. So, you know, as a way to be able to connect with the being, whatever you call it, the cosmic Christ, the Avalokiteshvara. But not just in the process of dying, it can also be used in our life for protection. If we're feeling a bit vulnerable, either physically, emotionally, esoterically, we can use these mantras, and they have a power to them, much like prayer. So in the article where they were talking about prayer, they were saying that they were putting mantra, meditation and mantras in the same category as prayer. So there's something that help us. There's power in the words, even though we may not be conscious of it. And so the Om Mani Padme Hum is pretty amazing to, you know, when we're feeling very, very low, and maybe the weight or that karma, as I was saying, the weight of the world on our shoulders is too much, then we can use that mantra, and it can help alleviate some of that suffering. And hopefully we can do that in the practice. So about the mantra itself, it's also known as the Mani. It is the mantra of the supremely compassionate Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, or the cosmic Christ, that adopts the form of those masters who incarnate that force. So that this Avalokiteshvara be known by the sages, not as a god or goddess, but as incarnation in the mind of a too abstract force, so something so abstract as to be shown otherwise. And that regardless of this, it doesn't increase nor diminish the power of the mantra. So it's representing a force that is beyond our comprehension. We can only really just use words to transmit, you know, a truth until we've experienced it ourselves. So the Om part, it symbolizes the origin, the supreme source, the Dharmakaya, the absolute. It's a mightily creative word, considered by many as the sum of all the sounds of the universe, as the harmony of the spheres. So Om, we know, is a very commonly used mantra, so we should be familiar with that, and the symbol too. So then we have the Mani Padme, also represents the jewel in the lotus flower. So it means the following things. It can mean the essential wisdom that lies in the heart of the Buddhist doctrine. It can mean the eternal in the temporal. You know, like us, we are temporal, but we are immersed in the eternal. It can represent the Buddha in our heart. It can represent the objective, the supreme wisdom, and the means to reach it, which is the compassion. So compassion and love help us to achieve the summum of all wisdom. And I believe that Hermes Trismegistus most famously has coined that. So it also represents the interior Christ that is harbored in the mind and the heart of the Christian mystic. So it helps us to actually understand what the Christ is about, if we are open to understanding that beyond our concepts. So the Hum part is the conditioned in the unconditioned, and is equal to the limitless reality that's incarnated inside the limits of the individual being. So that it unites all the separate beings and objects to the universal Om. So the Hum part connects us back to the Om again, so that we're all connected to all beings, which is something that's really beautiful. And for me, when I'm in a good meditation zone, I feel that connection, and that love and compassion comes naturally. But, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. So you just have to keep at it. And when you do experience it, just to appreciate it and to know that it's something that's possible. You know, I don't want to grab onto these states of compassion all the time. They should really be flowing very naturally with comprehension. When we comprehend the ego, when we comprehend the suffering that it brings, then we have instant compassion for other people who are also in the same boat. To think that other people have less ego is not necessarily true, unless, you know, we're face to face with a master or a Lord of Compassion. So the Hum, going back to that, also represents the eternal, or that which does not die in the ephemeral or perishable. And it's also a vastly potent word that destroys all the obstacles born from the ego that oppose comprehension. So the lack of comprehension and ignorance is often a problem. It's pretty much the cause of all problems, isn't it? Of having ignorance of our situation and being stuck in a place and perhaps feeling alone and, you know, misunderstood, misrepresented, all that. It just comes from really a lack of comprehension and a lack of compassion. So hoping that we can use this practice to really connect again with this principle of compassion, this feeling, and to be able to help or to work with the masters to help us to reconnect again. So I'll just get ourselves ready for a practice, making sure we're comfortable. The physical body is relaxed. We're in a place that we won't be interrupted for the next 10 minutes. When we work to relax our body, we check our spine is as straight as possible. And if possible, we close our eyes, keeping our concentration on the breath. We inhale very deep, complete yogic breath, filling up every part of the lung, the lungs, holding the breath a short while, and then exhaling very slowly, releasing all the tensions of the day. Breathing in again. Holding the breath, allowing the prana to accumulate. And then slowly exhaling, releasing any worries, any fears, any preoccupations. We take a third deep breath. We hold and slowly exhale. So So keeping our attention in the breath or in the heart, I'm going to lead a practice, a prayer, working with the force of Avalokiteshvara, who is the force, the being that represents compassion, infinite compassion, that force that has been incarnated by many masters, that we can connect with too. We can also feel the compassion of the cosmic Christ. So I say, Divine Avalokiteshvara, Divine Lord of Compassion, we beg for your help. This suffering humanity, this suffering planet, help us. Extend your force of compassion and of love to all those animals, all the animals that suffer in the air, in the water, and on the earth. Help these animals, help these beings. Help those that suffer due to pollution in the air, due to man-created pollution, smog, all those created pollutants. We beg you to go to all those animals that suffer in the waterways, those that suffer due to garbage, due to plastic bags, due to heavy metals leaching into the water, due to oil spills, due to all those things, particularly those created by man. Help those animals. Give them your compassion. Give them your love. Alleviate their suffering. And to all those animals that walk on the earth, that suffer due to mining, that suffer due to radiation, that suffer due to landfill, to all those things that pollute the soil. Help all those animals, all those insects, Divine Avalokiteshvara, help alleviate their suffering, help to heal them. So now we use the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Imagining waves of compassion, waves of light going out. We use the imagination, imagining all those animals receiving waves of love, waves of help from the Divine Avalokiteshvara. And then we continue to ask for help. Divine Avalokiteshvara, Lord of Compassion, and all the bodhisattvas of compassion, Jesus the Christ, Samael Onvior, Krishna, Lao Tzu, Hermes Trismegistus, Quetzalcoatl, we beg you in these times, in these difficult times, to help those, help all those people, those humans who suffer, those who suffer in mental homes with mental illness, those who suffer in hospitals, those who suffer in prison, those who suffer in nursing homes, the elderly, those who are facing their death, that may feel alone, that may not be able to comprehend the mysteries of life, the mysteries of death. Help all those people who suffer. Lend, give them your force, give them your compassion, even if it's for one moment. May they feel that love, that compassion, that connection to alleviate their suffering. Please help. help these people. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Imagining those waves of light, of love, going out to those people who are suffering, who are unwell. We may know some people, we may not know them, it doesn't matter. May that force, may that light go out to all those beings who are sick, who are suffering. And then we continue to ask for help. Divine Avalokiteshvara, Divine Lords of Compassion, we beg you, we ask you to help heal, to help alleviate the pain of all those people that are fighting and struggling for a better life. All those people who are in poorer countries, those countries that are disaster stricken, countries that have economic problems, political problems, social problems, all those people who suffer in silence, who have unhappy that working so hard to make ends meet. Please help go out to those people and allow them to feel something positive, something of your compassion, of your light and love, and that to keep on fighting, to strive, to not give up, to really to feel that compassion, to be able to be inspired and motivated and healed and cleansed by this force. Beg this of you, to go to those people, wherever they may be, whatever country, whatever place, whatever culture, whatever religion, all those who are fighting to survive, help them to see the light, help them to have hope. Divine Lord of Compassion, we beg this of you. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 In our final petition, we can direct this to a particular person we have in mind that is suffering, that needs our help, or that needs any type of help. We can focus our attention on this person, this animal, whoever it may be, and we can direct waves of compassion. So focusing our attention on this person, family member, work colleague, could be someone that has died, anyone or anything. So imagining those waves. We can pray internally to Avalokiteshvara to go to them, to help them. The best prayer is through the heart. We say, Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 And then in our own time, we thank these beings of compassion for their help, for the healing, for their force. We implore them to keep helping us this suffering humanity, to provide that light of hope. Okay, so that brings the end of this practice. Hope you enjoyed it. It was something different, something more esoteric, but hopefully I should be doing more practices, different kinds of practices, to introduce different tools to be able to help. I find that practice, that prayer, particularly helpful, especially if I'm feeling down, because it's really helping other people, and thus it makes, you know, when you give, you receive. So, okay, well, thank you very much for your company tonight. So if you want any more information on this program, please head to the website. That's gnosticwaves.com, gnosticwaves.com. And I hope to put this recording up there soon. Some extra information. You can also go to the Facebook page, Gnostic Society Australia. I think if you search in the search box, it should come up. There's also the website for the Australian webpage, which is www.gnosisaustralia.com.au. Okay, that's it for this week. Have a good week, and I look forward to you joining the show next week, Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Good evening.